Doc Talk is brought to you by Merck Animal Health. At Merck Animal Health, we're shaping the future of animal health with pioneering science, connected technology, and insights-driven solutions to bring our customers an unparalleled portfolio of choices to improve cattle care and operational efficiency. We support you and your legacy by helping you meet the challenges of today with the innovations of tomorrow.
Hey folks, welcome to Doc Talk. We're going to have a great show today. We're here with Dr. Sandy Johnson. We're in Hays, Kansas, and we're going to talk about synchronizing cows and heifers and all things ReproPhys. Thanks for joining us today. It's going to be a great show. Hey folks, welcome to Doc Talk. I'm Dr. Dan Thompson here with Dr. Sandy Johnson, and we're out here in Hays, Kansas, where Dr. Johnson serves as a state beef extension specialist and is really focused on reproductive physiology. She has an emphasis in that. And if you've looked at K-State or even beyond the Iowa Beef Center, her work has populated a lot of the reproductive physiology synchronization programs for cows, and we're tickled to death to get you on the show.
Well, pleased to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you. So the first part about this is kind of, why do we need to synchronize, and why do we go to all this trouble?
Well, when I look at where I see AI used the most, it's really for those replacement heifers. Where do we want to reduce risk of any calving difficulty, as well as ensure we've got a good growthy calf? And so by using those high accuracy sires there, I think there's a lot of people that can really see the value in it. And I've heard several commercial producers say something to the effect that, you know, why would you do otherwise? Because, you know, low risk, good calf. And first calf heifers are always that big hump. So it just makes a lot of sense in today's high risk environment to minimize that risk. And we made it much easier to do with estrus synchronization. And, you know, there's lots of choices and things you can do with those genetics.
Yeah. And, you know, we see people now buying guaranteed AI
sired heifers.
Sired heifers because they want a tight calving winter interval and they want to get this done and really be intense about it. And so a lot of things happening in our industry has changed.
Right. And, you know, that's just kind of our typical AI, but now we can also say, let's make us some HEF1 replacement females and use some sex semen on our pure straight bred whatever to make this F1 female. And we'll put that sex semen in anything that's in heat. And we're doing a cleanup timed AI. We'll use conventional semen on those, and probably you may get enough replacements depending on your need just with that approach. So there's just a lot more options. And if we look further down the road, there may be times when you want to put embryos in rather than just semen. So, you know, the dairy industry can get better fertility putting embryos in the summer during heat stress than they can with AI. So then we start thinking about putting in embryos. Well, if I'm the dairy industry, I could either put in a really high quality Holstein, say heifer, or I could just do some nice straight Angus or other things that would better fit the beef market that's a steer or heifer. And that would be one step better, perhaps, than the beef on dairy that we see now. So the options are just increasing.
Yeah, and the synchronization protocols and programs are synchronizing allows us to do this in a more labor efficient,
right,
predictive manner.
Right. You know, the typical person may do their own AI, but probably we want somebody that does a lot of it that's going to install embryos,
yeah.
You know, at least at this point, you know, that it's not a broad scale.
Right. Well, it's a great place to take a break. What we're going to do today is we're going to discuss some of the different protocols for synchronizing. We're going to talk about how you choose which one to use, and then we'll come back and talk about some of the resources that Dr. Johnson has that you can go access on the web. You're watching Doc Talk, and we're sure thankful that you joined us.
DNA Dialogue is brought to you by Igenity Feeder, powered by Neogen.
There's certainly risk for producers because of the financial stake we have in the cattle operations that we really need to protect our risk, and especially when there's things outside of our control that are happening in the industry. whether that's the general public or beef-centric issues within our industry, things such as black swan events that we talk about. So what can producers do to help minimize those risks is really very much from individual to individual. If you're able to withstand some of that risk and don't feel like you need to protect yourself, you know, that's a risk management strategy in itself, just saying I'm not going to have a risk management strategy. I think, though, for most people, taking into account that these events that may be out of our control, what am I willing to stand and how much risk do I need to protect? So there are ways to do that. Obviously, there's the traditional ways of helping decrease your risk exposure, such as futures. Obviously, there's a LRP program now, as well as options like put and take. So I think if you are at risk of financial catastrophe and can't withstand some of those events that are outside of our control, you should really consider those different strategies. More so on the other side is frankly, one way to manage risk is to always have continuous turnover of cattle and marketing windows across more times of the year. So for example, if I'm always marketing my calves as weaned calves, I'm really at the risk of what is the price every time in the fall on my marketing date. Whereas if I market a few dates, maybe I just slowly transition into going from one marketing date to three, hold on to some of the calves, maybe put some extra weight on them, I spread out my marketing windows. That's one way to also manage risk. If you're a feeder, of course, the other way is you're continuously marketing cattle and continuously refilling those pens. Again, that's a marketing strategy that minimizes risk across different times.
Are you a cattle feeder looking to manage for a stronger and more profitable set of cattle? Look no further than Igenity Feeder. Igenity Feeder utilizes DNA to gain insight into your cattle's genomic potential. With the information to predict performance, quality, and economic endpoints for cattle feeders. Animals are scored and ranked in a simple format, driving more precise and accurate management decisions. Igenity Feeder gives you the power to predict days on feed, manage variability within lots, characterize carcass performance, and focus on metrics important to you and your operation. With the data provided, you will identify superior animals earlier and maintain high operational efficiency. Maximize your profit and optimize performance with Igenity Feeder.
Hey folks, welcome back to Doc Talk. Dr. Dan Thompson here with Dr. Sandy Johnson, and she is an extension specialist at Kansas State University, a beef extension specialist, and has done so many things for the state of Kansas. And one of those people, how long have you worked with K-State?
25 plus.
It's unbelievable. Thank you. And thanks for what you do for all of us in the state. But when you look at synchronization of heifers and synchronization of cows and protocols across this country or globally, this is the person that's driving them and has developed them. And her love for reproductive physiology and her passion has helped so many producers. And so let's talk about some of the different protocols that are out there and that people are employing.
When I start thinking about protocols, in my mindset, first begins with, you know, how much heat detection do you want to do? We can breed them all in one day, and maybe if your arm is not up to however many head you have in one day, you need to do some heat detection or somehow break it up. So those are kind of the first things that we think of when we're kind of choosing a protocol. Okay. And you know, our most common protocols right now probably involve the seeder, whether it's with the cow or heifer. The seeder contains progesterone and, you know, essentially prevents those cows or heifers from coming in heat. And our other option that we can use for heifers is MGA, and that MGA prostaglandin protocol is kind of the old standby. But if you can deliver MGA, it's really hard to beat that on cost and, you know, very effective protocol. But you got to be able to deliver the MGA. So as we're talking about options,
yeah,
where are your heifers? Can you deliver that MGA so that everybody gets their dose?
Yep. So just kind of walk us through when you're talking about the seeder versus MGA, kind of like what would be a typical timeline or program?
Right. So we're trying to control when that cow comes in heat. So we're controlling the follicle growth as well as the presence of a CL. And so a progesterone, like what's in a cedar or the MGA, essentially keeps everything from coming in heat. Or if they haven't started cycling yet, that can also serve as a message to induce cyclicity. And so we have protocols where we're using MGA for a longer period of time and then waiting, depending on whether it's a cedar or MGA, 16 to 19 days. And what happens when we use this long-term protocol is that the heats that we see right after we stop MGA or pull the cedar are very low fertility because okay. some of those follicles have been around for a long time. And we talk about aged oocytes. And so we don't want to breed off those. We're really giving up a lot. So then we're going to come in a week before we want to breed and synchronize that follicular growth with gonadotropin releasing hormone or GnRH that's going to induce ovulation of what follicles there, or if it doesn't induce ovulation, it'll cause turnover. So we get a new follicular wave and we want to ovulate a young, rapidly growing follicle. And then we'll wind up with prostaglandin to get rid of the corpus luteum that's likely there.
And that'll take them from non-heat to ovulation to where we wind up with.
Right. The prostaglandin then starts the clock ticking to allow that follicle to go on and ovulate.
Perfect. Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue on this. We'll talk a little bit about why we pick some of these programs and protocols, why we don't. You're watching Doc Talk with Dr. Sandy Johnson, and we're glad you joined us. Hey folks, welcome back to Doc Talk. Dr. Dan Thompson with Dr. Sandy Johnson. She is with Kansas State University. She's one of the beef extension specialists in the state, and she is a reproductive physiologist by training and by practice. And we were talking about setting these programs up, and as we were off camera, you know, we focus on the protocol, but there's a lot of other things you need to be taken care of.
Right. Often somebody, this protocol will fix everything. Well, the protocol is probably the last thing we need to worry about in terms of getting ready for the breeding season. You know, right. do we have these heifers cycling in good condition? And of course, we also need that further plan for what's their next step and next nutritional step. So we don't do this to them, whether it's from, oh, they just got onto pasture and like, oh, well, and we don't have time to eat, you know, it's kind of yearling heifer thing. So we got to think about nutrition. And once we've thought about nutrition and planning ahead then for our synchronization protocol, oftentimes somebody will call, well, what protocol should I use? And I'm like, well, when are you going to breed? Well, next week. Well, that takes certain things off the table.
You know? Right, right.
And, you know, so we have longer term protocols that say take 30 days. So that's, you know, you got to have some advanced planning, or we have some shorter protocols that are, you know, 7 to 10 days. And so we always suggest advanced planning so that, you know, you get stuff on the calendar and the help that you need. And really, I work with the Beef Reproduction Task Force, which has tried to put together a set of protocols that we think will work in the majority of situations. And there's some different options on lengths and what situation to use them in, but we're trying to provide a short list of things that we know work in a wide variety of situations. And there's a lot of things you can do, but if you want to minimize risk and do what we think is going to be successful in most cases, you go to this short list. And you see those either in the back of bull studs, or we have a website, beefrepro.org, where we've tried to consolidate all this information to help you do a better job breeding. So while the specific protocol is often a person's, I'm most concerned about.
Give me the recipe.
What's the best one, you know? Well, you can screw up any of them, and it's really the application and getting your nutrition right.
The nutrition, the low-stress cattle handling, the stockmanship. Yeah. Transporting the heifers after you breed them.
We're not going to vaccinate them on the same day. We're trying to start to synchronize them. You know, work with your veterinarian on what's our health protocol need to be. So, you know, in my mind, sometimes we spend most time thinking about this protocol, but that's kind of the last step after a lot of good planning goes in. And then when we do execute that protocol, You got to give the right thing on the right day
to the right animal.
Right. Let's not give prostaglandin to our pregnant cows, you know,
right.
That type of things.
So, right.
So choose from our short list. You'll be fine. If you need more help walking through those options, you know, we're glad to do that. Or your person selling you semen, they're usually well trained in that and can help make those selections. And oftentimes, by the time you walk through, well, what timing is going to work for us, it really shortens your list down, and it's not too hard to pick something out there.
Well, I think you make a great point. It's year-round cattle management. It's the little practices, doing ordinary things extraordinarily well, nutrition, handling, working facilities, enough labor, and the protocols. The protocols work when we've all done all the other work.
Right, and we still got to get the protocol done right. There's good evidence that occasionally we use one product when we should be using the other.
Yep.
But if you execute it, chances are you'll have good success.
Perfect. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up with going to some of those resources that Dr. Johnson's talking about. You're watching Doc Talk. Thanks for joining us. Hey folks, welcome back to Doc Talk. I'm Dr. Dan Thompson with Dr. Sandy Johnson. We're in Hays, Kansas, where Dr. Johnson serves as a beef extension specialist with an emphasis in reproductive physiology. She has been at Kansas State for 25 years, and I can tell you that your synchronization protocols and your programs are a staple for our Cattlemen's Day events that we put on, and many extension events across the state and beyond. But y'all have worked hard to put together these protocols online for people, and so how do we access those?
Right. So our website, beefrepro.org, gets you to a wide variety of resources. And the most important one that people need to have is the Estrus Synchronization Planner. And that's been a joint project with the Iowa Beef Center. And so what that is a spreadsheet that allows you, kind of steps you through, you know, are you going to do heat detection or fixed timed AI? Are you going to use conventional or sex semen, Bos indicus, Bos taurus, when you want to breed? And then it pulls up a short list of protocols based on what we've recommended. Now, there's other things in there, but, you know, start with a short list. Put in that when you want to start breeding. If you're going to heat detect, then it's the first day you can heat detect. But if you're going to fix timed AI, it's when you want to do that fixed timed AI. And because of the nature of how cows respond, it's not always anytime that day you want to do the fixed timed AI. We have recommended intervals. And some of them, if you don't pay attention, I'll get a call that says, do I really need to breed these at 2 a.m? I say, well, no, you don't have to. If you've already given prostaglandin and you want better results, that's what you'll do.
Right.
But you do whatever you want. But
string up the floodlight.
Yeah. You know, so the idea is to plan ahead, okay? Do we have our timing right, particularly for those fixed timed AI protocols? What that interval is, what, you know, what's the temperature like? What type of weather is this? Do we need to be concerned about the heat of the day? Who's there to help?
Yeah.
You know, and particularly for the longer protocols, it's a little harder to think about, oh, now when's grandma's birthday and do we have to be there? And, you know, there's important things like that we need to take in consideration. So you put this information in, and then it gives you a calendar.
Awesome.
And then you can go to the rest of the crew, whoever needs to be involved in this planning, make sure we can all be there, because, you know, it's, by the time we give prostaglandin to when we breed, our timing, that becomes very important. So make sure everybody can be there, get the right thing done on the right day. You can indicate which of the products, you know, I've been using prostaglandin and GnRH, but there's a variety of available products in either of those categories. So you can check which one you're doing so that when you print out your calendar, it will say Lutalyze or Factrell or, you know, whatever the product is you're using to, again, help ensure that you get the right one on the right date. And it's,
and you have the right number of doses, and you know, you have the product there.
Yeah. And we actually have another version of the program that is designed for people that maybe they have are doing heifer development. So they have a number of groups of heifers, and they could on the same calendar show group A, group B, and how those overlap, as well as it totals your supplies when you put in the numbers. So did I get enough product? Do I have enough sleeves?
And tell me that things. Tell me that website again.
Go to beefrepro.org.
Okay. Beefrepro.org, and it's here on the screen, so y'all can go to that. But a great resource, huh?
Yeah, and so in addition to the links to the extra synchronization planner and all the protocols, the other thing that's there is recordings from proceedings from all our past applied reproductive strategies meetings. And so there's some great things in there. If you haven't been able to get to one of our meetings, you can get a whole lot there. And I often go back and I know some such and such said whatever, and I want to make sure I get that point right.
Perfect.
I go back and use them. So I highly recommend checking out that source for lots of different things and very good resources.
Well, we appreciate all your hard work, and thanks for being on the show.
Pleasure to be here with you.
It's great. Thanks for watching Doc Talk. Remember, if you want to find us on the web, you can find us at www.doctalktv.com. Always work with your local veterinarian. I'm Dr. Dan Thompson here in Hayes with Dr. Sandy Johnson, and we'll see you down the road.
At Merck Animal Health, we're shaping the future of animal health with pioneering science, connected technology, and insights-driven solutions to bring our customers an unparalleled portfolio of choices to improve cattle care and operational efficiency. We support you and your legacy by helping you meet the challenges of today with the innovations of tomorrow.